heart. Job chapter 31. Job is pleading his case before the Lord. He says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? I think the NIV says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. And he says, let me be weighed in a just balance and let God know my integrity. If my step had turned aside from the way and my heart has gone after my eyes. Notice the phrase there, my heart has gone after my eyes. There's a connection there between the eyes and the mind and the heart. In the New Testament, the book of 2 Peter, talking about false teachers. Notice the phrase here. Talking about false teachers on the next slide. He says they are insatiable. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. What's insatiable? Won't be satisfied. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. He's giving a description of the false teachers. My point is there is a connection between the eyes and the mind and the heart and the decision making. And if you talk to any psychologist or any psychiatrist who studies addictive behavior, they will say, yes, there's something that happens in the brain that affects those things. Certain people may have more disposition to addictive behavior than others, but there is definitely a connection between what comes in through the eyes, what happens in the mind, that those synapses that are firing are being, you know, I've heard some counselors describe it as there's ruts that are being formed in your brain by those synapses, those tracks over and over and over. And there's something to that. So yes, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, adult eyes, what you see. In 2009, I believe, I hope I have the year correct, there was a 30-second advertisement during the Super Bowl that aired in three cities as a test market, in Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio, but not in any other state. Less than 24 hours later, the Houston metropolitan area accounted for more than 147,000 hits to the new company's website. Actually, it wasn't a new company, but they were doing some more advertising. What company was it? Ashley Madison. The website, the dating website for married people who want to have affairs. And their tagline in the ad was, life is short, have an affair. You can imagine the deception. Because somebody signing up for that, well, the deception is, well, what's wrong with, I'm unhappy in my marriage, what's wrong with signing up under a fake name? And then the step after that, what's wrong with an online chat? You see, before an act of adultery is committed, it is already imagined over and over and over in the mind. Now, not only is there the reality of adulterous thoughts being spurred by looking at people in real time, but of course, in our day, the unique to society now is the prevalence of print and digital and virtual pornographic images. According to a Huffington Post report in 2013, the number of unique monthly visitors to pornographic websites outnumbered, get this, outnumbered Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. And one porn site streamed six times the bandwidth of the website, the web service Hulu. Six times the bandwidth. And it is estimated, according to this report, estimated that 30% of all data transferred on the internet is pornographic material. Think about that. 30% of all the data transferred on the internet. And Jesus' command is to guard at all cost what comes in through your mind, through your eyes, what your mind focuses on. This applies to all men, married or not, and to all women, married or not. Why? Because when you take sexual activity designed for marriage between a man and a woman, and you try to separate that sexual gratification apart from marriage, you are playing with fire. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. It was very sad to me when we lived in Florida. They, you know, the local newspaper has the weekend section, and here's what's going on in town. And the town we lived in Florida had a 10-year plan. They were going to revitalize the downtown, and one of the parts of their revitalizing the downtown was saving the Marion Theater, which was the local movie theater right there in the downtown square. And what did they have one Friday? Front page of the weekend section. Oh, premiering tonight at the Marion Theater, 50 Shades of Grey. And they had a pre-movie party. And it was sad to me that here on the front page of the weekend section is a picture of these people in all sorts of outfits depicting what is to take place in the movie in some sense, or at least promoting that idea. And it just saddened me to think, okay, why do I have to explain to my kids why these ladies are dressed in fishnet stockings and button-down men's shirts that are too large? Why are they on the front page of the newspaper? And you say, well, Pastor, that's just entertainment. Talk to a person, as Anthony has, or as Rudy has, of couples whose marriages have been destroyed by or addictions to pornography or adulterous affairs. Talk to them about how they felt when they found out that their spouse was having an affair with someone else. There is a deception that says, oh, I can keep it out there. It's manageable. It's in its place. I don't do that when I'm at home. No. I don't bring it into the house. It's a danger to all of us. It's a danger to young men, young women. And we have to guard. You know, the analogy of, if you have an encampment, you have sentries around the outside, right? And what is the sentry's responsibility? The sentry's responsibility is, hey, here's an alert. Here's an approaching enemy. Here's something on the horizon that's coming. We have to have those kind of sentries in our lives. And so the one we use on our devices is one called Covenant Eyes. It's a service that blocks objectionable websites. CovenantEyes.com. There's actually another one, I believe it's still in existence, called Triple X Church. If you would believe it or not, that's actually a filtering website, a download that you can put on your computer and your devices. So it is a danger. But then Jesus goes back to the sanctity and the permanence of marriage. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, that's the Greek word porneia, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now, this is difficult to interpret unless we go to Matthew 19. And so Matthew 19 reads this. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees came to test him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? So in Matthew 19, they ask this question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let man not separate. Let not man separate. Now here's the debate. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" Here's the debate between two schools of rabbis at the time of Jesus. You had the Hillel school, which was the more permissive school, that said, well, in Deuteronomy 24, something indecent, quote unquote, that the wife does, we can interpret that very broadly, and so the husband is allowed to give his wife a certificate of divorce for any reason, essentially. Any reason that he felt was valid. The Shammai school said, no, we interpret that more strictly, that means sexual immorality or adultery of some kind. And so they wanted to know who Jesus was going to side with. Are you going to side with the more progressive school, the more permissive school, or are you going to side with the more conservative school that has this limited exception? And Jesus doesn't answer either of them. He says, here's God's intent. You're concerned about all these different qualifications and circumstances when you can give a certificate of divorce. He says, that's not God's command. God's command is, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. So Jesus is saying, essentially, Moses didn't command you to divorce your wives. God's giving that to you as a concession because of the hardness of your hearts. And in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, essentially, that is partly a protection for the woman so that she doesn't get passed around from husband to husband. And so Jesus is saying, God's intent is for marriage between a man and a woman to be permanent. And why is he saying, if you marry another, you commit adultery? Why? Because in God's eyes, you're still married to the first spouse. You see, at some level, we as Christians have to wrestle with, okay, this is what the law says. This is what the legal standard is. This is the culture we live in. Are we going to use that as the common denominator and say, oh, as long as I'm meeting that, I'm okay? And of course, some of you grew up in the Catholic Church where, okay, if you can have the church officially recognize a divorce, then you can get remarried. And so you have all sorts of ins and outs, but we have to wrestle with the standard of God's word. I'm not saying that to shame anybody. I'm just saying we so easily in my own life, I say, well, you know, if the state says it's legal, or if the state says this or that, or if this is the prevailing cultural attitude. Jesus is saying, forget that. Think about what God's original intention is. And so we have to wrestle with that. So Jesus is pointing us to the sanctity and permanence of marriage. When I read John Stott's commentary on this, the late John Stott, he said, for the past number of years, I have had this practice. He said, if someone calls me asking for counsel about a divorce, I say, I'm not going to speak with you. I will speak with you about either marriage or reconciliation. But I will not speak with you if the conversation is going to be, am I permitted to have a divorce, or how do I work through that? I thought, wow, that's going against the grain. And probably he lost a bunch of folks from his church because of that. All Souls Church in London, John Stott was at for many years. But his point was, I want to talk about the marriage. I want to talk about reconciliation. I want to talk about forgiving one another. I want to talk about the spouses submitting to one another for the sake of Christ. I want to talk about the husband loving the wife as Christ loved the church. All right, so some practical measures. I don't want to leave you defeated. Okay, sentries that are on guard. Radical measures to prevent or eliminate sin. As a husband, continue to date your wife. One of the elders in the previous church where I served, he would always remind me, whenever we would meet together, he and I, he would say, so are you dating your wife? And it was a good reminder. It was a good reminder because he modeled that between he and his wife. They were always going out, doing things together, having lunch together, going out on dates. That's a good reminder. That's a preventative measure that that I need to practice more. Evaluate your hobbies for their environment. Are they redemptive? So hobbies can sometimes be times where we spend time away from our spouse doing different activities, maybe that we're interested in, that they're not interested in. So then the question is, well, what kind of environment is that? Is that a redemptive environment, or is that an environment that is going to involve temptation? Allow your wife to access your phone and your computer. Have joint access to your phone and computer. No secrets. Same with bank accounts, I think. That goes to joint trust. And then lastly, rehearse in your mind the dumpster fire that is adulterous sin. That is loss of relationship, impact on children, example to others, personal unhappiness. See, sometimes when we're tempted, we just think of the immediate. We just think of, oh, well, you know, I might touch the fire and my finger might get burned. No, imagine if your whole hand goes in and you lose your whole arm. Imagine when you have to explain to your kids 10 years later what happened between you and your spouse when you were unfaithful. Let that be a deterrent. We need God's grace, amen? We need God's grace every minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now and we ask that you would bring your healing by your Spirit to our lives. Whether we're in a situation where we know we have past wrongs that still bear consequences in our lives and we need healing from that, or Lord, whether it's the future road ahead that we need to stay pure and continually be faithful to our spouses, or if we're called to singleness, Lord, that we would remain faithful to that. Lord, I pray that we would, as your people, have a biblical view of sexuality and of what marriage is meant to be. That we would celebrate the goodness and the faithfulness of marriages in our midst. And that we would celebrate also couples that have been through difficulties and have reconciled, who have come back together. Lord, I pray today for those who might be in difficult relationships, who need your grace. Father, we just ask that we would recognize your grace shown to us in Jesus Christ, that no one is beyond your reach, that no sin is beyond your reach, that many times we make a mess of our lives, but you, Lord, are there to bring us back and to redeem us. May we as the church reflect more purely and more truly that we are the bride of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.